Shut up and sit down.
Live, raw, unedited. Dr. Deb and Dana coming at you from Studio D in Wilmington, Philadelphia Metro. You are listening to the Eat Clean, Think Dirty show. The views expressed here are simply opinions and not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any of your problems. Listen at your own risk.
No. No. Yeah, but you're not recording. That's the problem. God damn it. I'm going to stop it now.
Okay, so we just totally messed up because I wasn't recording, but now I am, I'm assuming, right?
My fault.
Okay, that's the brains of this operation over there, the technology brains.
That's okay. You know, we're only as good as my brains, I guess. Otherwise, we're not getting on. Hey, I've held us steady for over a year now.
You are the shit, girl.
So.
Okay, so what's up, Dana?
What's up, Deb? We're talking about eating for your hormones today.
Yeah.
And that's probably a topic that most people don't even think about when they make dinner or lunch or anything. But it's worth considering if you have hormonal issues.
Yeah, and I think even people without hormonal issues, because, you know, if you continue to eat bad food, you
potentially will get hormonal issues.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is kind of like a food first philosophy, and it needs to be a food first philosophy.
Because I really like that term.
So do I.
In general, and that really just kind of espouses everything that we believe about health.
Yeah.
You know, when you make it about food and just eating really well, you don't have to worry about the other stuff so much.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you can go to restaurants and you can get into, you know, all kinds of, like, let's just take nachos.
Why would you choose that?
Well, I mean, because for some reason I've had them a lot.
Most places have nachos on the menu.
Yeah, and I've had
them anywhere.
I've had a couple plates of them over the last couple of weeks to my resistance.
Uh-huh.
But like, so let's say somebody goes and has nachos and has cheesesteaks and has all kinds of different things. Okay, that are really
typical,
like, high glycemic.
Typical restaurant bar.
Exactly.
Low grade restaurant bar.
Fit. Yeah. So, yeah. And they eat and their blood sugar is spiking. Mm-hmm. Okay. Whether they know it or not, it doesn't matter how much you work out or how much you don't work out, your blood sugar is spiking. Okay. And like, you do that long enough, okay, there's going to be some hormonal challenges.
Right. And like we say all the time, if you do it every once in a while, it's not going to be a big issue. But this is your daily routine. There's going to be a problem at some point. It's going to catch up to you.
Yeah. And, you know, just because you got a good body now, if you have a good body, okay, it doesn't mean that in 10 years from now you're going to have that same good body. Because as we learn from, like, you know, different things, and you and I have talked about this with regards to, like skinny fat.
Skinny fat, yes.
You know, and some of the issues with that. And then, like, I know people that are, like, super, super muscular, okay? And, like, they complain about stomach issues.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay, you look healthy, but you're eating all this shit, and you wonder why.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, like, if you just took a picture of this person,
they look like the picture of
health. They look like the picture of health. Okay. So, I mean, that drives me crazy. And I think people need to be more mindful of what they're putting into their system. Okay. So,
yeah.
You know, so we want to watch out for insulin spiking, okay? We want to watch out if you have a thyroid issue, you know.
Especially,
there's the goitrogens, okay? Like, there's some research, there's some confusing, conflicting.
Goitrogens.
Yeah.
Goitrogens.
What did I say? Goiters?
Goitrogens.
Yeah. You get goiters.
Yes.
You can get goiters from goitrogens.
But the goitrogenic vegetables are things like broccoli and
cruciferous.
Cauliflower, cruciferous vegetables, things like that. And what I've read is confusing, but you are supposed to. If you eat them raw,
yeah,
that does have an impact on, you know, your goiter or, you know, your thyroid.
Your thyroid or hypothyroidism too.
Yes, but if you steam them or cook them, it will take most of those elements out and you're in good shape.
Yeah, and with that being said too, like fermented foods are actually really good, okay? Mm-hmm. But we want to stay away from foods that are going to spike our blood sugar. Even things like caffeine and an excessive amount of chocolate, okay, mm-hmm. can drain the adrenal glands, okay? So you're putting pressure on your adrenal glands, and pressure is probably the wrong word, but, you know, it'll stress out your adrenal glands, mm-hmm. okay? And, you know, then you're going to get some, you know, potential issues there, spikes of cortisol, and, you know, there's this communication with the HPA axis, and, you know, you can end up with some... just hormonal and neurochemical imbalances. So obviously processed foods, obviously high sugar foods. Mm-hmm. If you have hypothyroidism, you want to be careful of the goitrogens. You want to watch the ones that spike the food that spikes blood sugar. Okay. And they're the carbs, a lot of the carbs as well as sugar.
Yes.
And caffeine, which drains your adrenal glands, or excessive amounts of caffeine, like a cup of coffee. We did a show on coffee. Mm-hmm. A cup of coffee or a couple cups of coffee, you know, a day is fine unless you have adrenal gland issues already.
Right. And we're talking cups, not super size.
Yeah.
Right. And how about portion sizes? I think that's a big thing, because a lot of people really get that wrong.
So they'll go to the Cheesecake Factory and they'll order like linguine with clam sauce, and it's like four portions.
Right.
Four sizes, and they sit there and they eat it all, because this is where language comes in again, okay? And not only language, but these messages from our childhood, and that is, you know, clean up
your plate.
On your plate, mm-hmm. before you get dessert or before you leave the table. So we've got this almost mentality that we need to eat everything on our plate.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah, right? And then people walk out, and I was here years ago, okay, mm-hmm. and I'm sure you were too. Like, you walk out and you like waddle out. You can't even breathe, and you feel like shit. Your pants. Some people, I've literally like been at a table with people. This was years ago, but like as they're eating, they unbutton their pants.
Oh,
so that they can eat more.
Really?
And then all of that actually spikes your blood sugar too, and puts massive amounts of weight on you. And then just on that note, if you, like a lot of people, like the American diet, like they tend to eat at 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Like I try not to eat past 6 o'clock, though recently that's been a little bit difficult. But like, you know, you shouldn't, I'm pretty sure you shouldn't eat dinner past 6 o'clock. You need time to digest.
I think I've heard 7 is the absolute latest you should actually eat food. And I have a really hard time sticking to that because of my work schedule. You know, if I don't bring a really good dinner with me to work, then I am going to eat when I get home. And sometimes I'm working up until 10 o'clock and yeah, I need to eat. So it does require some discipline, and planning is key.
So go smaller on the portions. Okay. And again, I don't want to give portion sizes just because everybody's body's different.
Right.
Okay. But, you can look up portion sizes for, I believe, your body weight. Like, I think like a steak shouldn't be more than like four ounces.
Right.
Okay. So you want to be careful with that kind of stuff. You don't want to, you know, load up. I mean, vegetables, you can have as many as you want.
Right. And I think that's probably the easiest way to think about it. And
fill up on vegetables.
Fill up on vegetables. Yep. And that should cover 3/4 of your plate.
Yeah.
The colorful, different multicolored vegetables should cover 3/4 of your plate. And another good... I think there's a visual set of things, like, you know, people have a hard time with portion control because you don't bring your measuring cups to the restaurant, right? Uh-huh. But you do have a good idea of what a deck of playing cards looks like, you know?
Good.
So yeah. There is a portion control toolkit, for lack of a better word, that uses everyday items for you to actually compare food to. So when you're out, you'd be like, oh, that piece of chicken looks like about the size of a deck of playing cards. Mm-hmm. That's about 4 or 6 ounces, whatever. You know, it just gives you that kind of power back. And so, you know, don't eat the whole thing. Eat half of it if it looks like two decks, you know.
Yeah, and save the rest for later. Mm-hmm. But I really love the idea of filling up on vegetables. So, you know, 3/4 of the plate vegetables, of fat.
High-quality protein.
A high-quality protein and, like, an avocado or some fat. Some or you use, like, a grass-fed butter on on the vegetables. And at that point,
and why is that important? I mean, we've talked about this before, but a lot of people, like, they're averse to putting oils on their food, but go for it because it helps you absorb the nutrients that are in the vegetables.
Yeah,
like otherwise the vitamins aren't going to have a good method to absorb.
Well, that, and not only that, but like with regards to hormones, like fat synthesizes hormones.
Yeah, that's
like you
very
have
important.
To have fat in your diet, and like. You know, this is one of the reasons why, like, back in the 80s when the fat-free food, you know, came about, like, people were having, you know, people were gaining more weight, okay, with that because their whole system became imbalanced because they took the fats out. So their insulin levels were going all over the place.
Not to mention that the fat-free foods were high in sugar and high in everything else.
Chemicals and processed stuff.
And, yeah, that really screwed up people.
Yeah, so it's important to have the fat in the diet so it synthesizes the hormones in a proper way. You know, same thing, and you know, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to put a precursor to it that I'm not a medical doctor when it comes to what I'm about to say, but like even cholesterol, okay, you know, cholesterol is important for hormones as well. And, you know, so you need the, you know, some cholesterol as well in your diet. And a lot of people will veer away from, like, eggs because, oh, they've got cholesterol in them, okay?
The greatly maligned egg.
Yeah, it's really important. I will say this about eggs, though.
Don't kill them to death. Is that what you're going to say?
Don't cook them where the yolk is hard because it oxidizes and then that becomes the bad cholesterol. So you should eat the yolk as runny as possible. So instead of a hard-boiled egg, maybe a soft-boiled egg.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I like soft-boiled eggs. Yeah. I like poached eggs. That would be good.
On top of like some vegetable hash and vegetable and potato hash, that's actually really, really good. So
yeah, but if that white's runny, I'm running like, no,
a lot of people don't like
the boogers,
the white runny stuff. Yeah. Okay. Boogers. That's a good thing. I hate that word. Boogers.
boogers.
I'll tell you what else I've learned over the years is that drinking first thing when you get up before you have coffee or anything like that, or tea, or if you have anything to either down water or down lemon water or warm lemon water
or apple cider
yeah. vinegar water. Yeah. It like kind of detoxes and cleanses you before you put caffeine into your system.
I think an hour before, isn't that what they say?
Okay. That I don't know.
I mean, don't like chug a glass of water and then chug your coffee. Like, I think there should be some resting time in between. And maybe not a full hour, but maybe a half hour.
I also think the appropriate times for regulation. Now, this is where people get all jacked up, okay, because their schedules can be all over the place, okay? But I do think that, you know, like eating at the same time every morning, every afternoon, every evening is super important. Just like in a perfect world, going to bed at the same time every night is important, and that should be before 10:30. Okay, now, you know, we all struggle with that, and
I'm so fucked.
Yeah, a lot of people struggle with that, and I go in waves with that. Like, there'll be months that go by where I'm on that cycle, and then something will happen, okay? And, you know, I'm not in bed until 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever. But like, you know, so the scheduling is, I think, really important for balancing, hormonal balancing, because of like circadian rhythms and, you know, when your body's all over the place, just like technically you're supposed to take your thyroid medication, and we know this, at the same time every morning.
Mm-hmm. And before you eat anything.
And like 30 minutes
before
you eat anything. So there is something to a schedule, you know, like if you eat at, you know, 5 o'clock one night and then the next three nights you're eating dinner at 9:30 and, you know, like it messes up your system even for the next day.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So it all becomes imbalanced in your system. And then, you know, you keep doing that before you know it, you're going to have some hormonal imbalances. So there are some things that, that can regulate, like some supplemental things that can like help regulate anybody with some hormonal problems.
Mm-hmm.
Maca is a big one. I think maca is awesome.
Maca root powder.
Maca root powder.
So how do you actually take that? Is it a powder form that you put in a smoothie?
You can do that. You can also buy the pills too.
Okay.
Okay. And sometimes people with low estrogen can take maca.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maca is an endocrine regulator. Okay. So it regulates the hormones. So really anybody can take maca for the most part, but, and it's very, very slow. Okay. So it's not like you're going to take it and you're going to, you know,
zing. Yeah.
Zing.
No.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah. So it takes time. It's I believe it's an old, either Aztec or Incan superfood.
Yeah.
Okay.
That
so,
sounds right.
Yeah, they used to give it to their warriors before, you know, fights, and they used to just make it part of, because it gives a little bit of energy.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to put it in my smoothies, though I haven't had maca for a little bit. I've got to get some. So that's a good, nice, you know, hormone regulator thing for people. Antioxidants, warts. I mean, antioxidants are super important.
Now, apart from food itself, or did you want to continue on the antioxidants thing?
No. I mean, you know, if somebody wants...
there's so many things that you can do, and it's, you know, specific to the individual. So you probably should talk to somebody who knows, a good nutritionist or...
Yeah, but I think everybody...
health doctor. No, everybody can
benefit from antioxidants.
Definitely. But what I was talking about more global, like just how you eat. And you were talking about, you know, being on a schedule and things like that. How about eating while you're doing other things, or, you know, distracted eating, they call it, right? Not like distracted driving, distracted eating. So you're reading the paper, you're drinking your coffee, you're eating your breakfast, you're talking to, you know, you're all over the place, you're scrolling Facebook, whatever, and then you don't even realize you've eaten.
Mm-hmm.
That is actually, it raises your cortisol. Apparently.
Yes. Yeah.
Stressful thing.
Absolutely. So I think that I would recommend a clinical functional nutritionist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that they...
Yeah, I don't want to be going to any nutritionist who's telling me to eat like the food pyramid.
Which there's still a lot of them out there.
Right. Like with like all those grains on that bottom, like that whole bottom thing, sorry, can't do that. You need to turn it upside down.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. if you go to a clinical functional nutritionist, you might get a food sensitivities test.
Yeah.
You might get a saliva hormone test
mm-hmm.
or a dry urine hormone test. And I think that these are some things that you should have done, that people should have done before they choose a lifestyle, okay? Or just in general, because people should know where their hormones are, where their cortisol is, there's another test that I love, and you can actually get it at any lab test now, and that's a place that's all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's all over the country. It might be on the East Coast only, but so double check that, guys. But you can get a micronutrient test, and you can find out like all the like micronutrients and antioxidants that you are low in,
mm-hmm.
and then they'll tell you exactly what to take and how much to take it to actually get it up to
nice.
Where your body particularly needs
it. I think at some point we should probably put together like a go-to list of all of the things that, you know, basically most people should just do, and you don't necessarily have to go to your doctor for some of these things. You could just go to these labs.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. now amazing woman's texted me a little bit ago, a week or so ago. And there's a home kit now.
Oh.
You can do it.
Really?
You can take the blood yourself and then send it out to the lab.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
Let's learn more about that.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, because I think that people should be, you know, doing these things. I think it's really, really important for just overall health. Just like I think genetics is going to be genetic testing is going to be the wave of healthcare.
I agree.
You know, the future wave of healthcare.
Yes.
And you're going to find out like whether or not you're prone to some of these issues or not, and how to start eating right way, way, way before, you know, some of this stuff happens. Because
right.
sometimes when we're 20, definitely, but 20s, 30s, 40s, you know, we feel sometimes still invincible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, until we hit
mid 40s, 50s, 60s, and then you start slowing down. Your eyesight gets janked up. And
things start to happen. You know what I mean? Like,
you got pain where you didn't have pain before.
Had a heart pain. Oh,
can't
my God.
Move the way you used to.
Yeah. And it's like, well, maybe if you would have done better in your 30s and 40s, like, you wouldn't be going in for heart surgery.
Yeah.
Because it just comes on.
I just can't believe.
Well, I mean, not like that.
No, but, I mean, there's a lot of people that I know that I went to school with who are getting surgeries and this and that. I'm like, wow. Like, that's not even on my radar at all, thank God. You know, but that's amazing.
All right. So just a little quick hit here that you can balance your hormones through food, okay?
Organic food.
Organic foods, yes. And to start doing some research on some of this stuff yourself or your own body type and cut down the portions and, you know, eat healthy and fill your dishes up with vegetables.
Yeah, and if you feel weird when you eat food, consider not eating the food.
Yeah.
It's pretty damn simple.
Duh. Like bloated, gassy.
Yeah. Just think about it. It's just imparting comments.
Yeah, heartburn. Heartburn's not normal, people.
All right.
See ya.
You know you want more. Find them on Facebook at Eat Clean, Think Dirty, The Podcast, and stalk them on Twitter at Don't Eat Dirty.